I'll show you what's going on. DJ One Gun.
Wise Words of One Gone Show on a rainy Wednesday day. It is Wise Words Wednesday. And Boss Tui, I want to thank you and your father for putting that together, but I'm going to have to add, we're all that airplay of just saying One Gone, we're going to have to put in our brothers. See, one thing about me, it ain't all about me. It's about bringing my brothers with me. Y'all ain't hear me. And so it's a lot going on in our town, man, and a lot of people trying to do some things. But you got to know how to do things. You know, you can't, this is how I look at it. You can't nigger rig everything. You can't be a shade tree mechanic on everything. You have to be professional. You have to be trustworthy. You have to be a man of your word. And sometimes you don't even have to use words. Write some of that stuff down, man. Because you talk so fast, you move so fast that you done forgot what you told me. And see, me, I'm listening. Oh, I'm listening. And if you don't repeat the same thing that you repeated before or come back around to what you said before and you study going and going and going and we never take care of the first part of your conversation, but you keep adding to it, that confuses me, man. That confuses me. So my wise words to anybody out there, any listener worldwide, make sure you stand on what you're stating. Stand on what you're stating. Don't just keep putting it out there. You ain't got nothing wrote down. We all got visions and dreams, and we all got hope and admirations, and we got that. But we doing work. And in order to do this work, we got to be real. Without further ado, I'm going to the host with the most. We got about six or seven other callers on the line, but I got to go to him first. And that'd be you, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Good morning, and thank you for that admonition so that everyone is clear in understanding that putting it in the hard copy, making it visible rather than just audible, because we don't, I can't speak for everybody, but I work to retain what somebody says as best I can, but sometimes I fall short. But if I read something, it has more power. I guess that's the spoken word is overcalled by the written word oftentimes. So that's good advice for others to consider when they want their vision to be clear.
I say, and so we got Mark the Disciple. Brother Mark?
Greetings, Grand Rising Kings and Queens. We enjoy you, encourage you to speak up and speak out. Don't just listen. Tell us what's going on in your neighborhood.
Brother Sherman.
Good, Good morning, everyone. I come to you with heavy hearts today. I heard every word Mr. Tim said. So my heavy heart is because of the subway petition I put before the court dies today at 5. I did my best. You know, I'm a blind guy. Only thing a blind guy is really good at writing is his name, his address, city and state he lives in, and the zip code. But at the same time, I can write, but I just couldn't tell you what I wrote. So anyway, moving on was, hey, so it's so true to be a man of your word, and which in details to the end, leadership principles. And one is teach one, each one. So one meeting we had, I brought that leadership up. But see, in the soldier's handbook, the Army soldier's handbook, there's a section on leadership. And you got to know yourself, and you got to know your men. And that's where the team begins to work together to get the mission accomplished. And it doesn't say quit. It says accomplished. So I yield back, and I love you, brothers, and I hope I can hang with you for a while.
Ashe.
Right on.
All right. And so we got a caller from the 650. A caller from the 650.
How you doing? This is Manny Smith, the governor. I've been on your radio show before, Double R, and my brother Mark, the disciple, invited me by. So I'm just here to listen in and talk about black cohesion once again. There's 50 million of black people in America. Multiplied by 5, that's $250 million a month. With that money, we can make 200 new black millionaires between the ages of 18-27 per month. And we can also have an extra $50 million to pay the people who go out and get those contracts. So that's what I'm working on. And for my brother that was blind, I mean, that is black cohesion, brother. If I can see, you can see. That's the definition of black cohesion. We have to come together on helping people where they can't help themselves, and they help us where we can't help ourselves. Now, there's other things that I go into, you know, the first black woman doctor at Stanford, her home is being foreclosed on right now. We're trying to save that. There's $3.2 million worth of equity in the house, and the city is trying to just take it. So, you know, that's an opportunity for you guys. If anybody knows anything about foreclosure, if people in the group want to come together and donate and take some of that equity at the end, that can all be worked out. But I just really came to listen, and like I said, Double R and Mark invited me, so I'm going to keep this brief. But if you guys were to elect me governor, I'll make sure nothing like this ever happens to anyone in the state of California again. Thank you.
Ashe. Double R.
Top of the top, my brothers, man. Another day on this beautiful show. Appreciate you, brothers. Let me give you y'all flowers, man. Keep doing what y'all doing, man. Without this show, man, we ain't nothing. And I love the way we chop it up every day. But, yeah, that's Governor right there. I met him at the last reparations meeting out there in Sacramento, him and Brother Mark. And we've been chopping up almost every day, at least with the word, with the scripture we bite on every day. But and later today, we got another guest. You know, you guys say, man, let these men be let people be a man of their word. You know what I'm saying? So we had a lot of flack about the brother Chris, and let's see from 10 to 11 if he can jump on there. I'm gonna hit him. I'm gonna disappear for 10 o'clock and try and hit him up to get him on here so we can get these questions answered, man, about reparations. Because if you black and you don't want to know about reparations, I don't think you I don't think you're black. You feel me? So I yield back.
Ashe. Brother Joe.
How you doing, everybody? And obviously every day glad to be here. I'm waiting for the 10 to 11. I also said yesterday in closing that there's got to be other individuals that we need to bring or address because of their mouths being completely closed that are in positions. I yield back and wait for that to speak. Thank you.
Sister Clarice. Okay. She might be working.
Yes, I'm here. I hear you. I'm on mute.
Okay. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I enjoyed the show yesterday. Thank you for inviting me to have something to say. It was very helpful, very, very helpful. And also thank Marvell, even after the show, he really was so instrumental. Marvell, I'm fine. You're right. I hear what you're saying, and I can do better, and I am doing better. And I do have the tolerance, and I am grateful. And, yes, I'm going to give that recommendation to my son, and I'm going to back off and listen.
Ashe. Let's see. This might be Flo.
The one and Flonely.
Peace and blessings, Steve. And I see a hand. It must be William Bailey. Gotta be. William Bailey, you're on mute. Okay, so introduction has been done.
Hello, everyone. How's it going?
Let me get back to William.
Well, we definitely know black reparations is an absolute necessary infusion into our black community. Just as a note, because. Just a quick comment on that part, and that is, you know, we've been so long left behind that finally this would be a perfect opportunity for some of the local residents to finally experience someone investing in them, and a lot of what us and our and specifically our ancestors had to go through in order for us to be able to be where we're at right now. The rights and the privilege and opportunities we have right now leaves us no excuse not to go out there and hustle for what we want in life, you know. So outside of, you know, these opportunities that are had, you know, if black reparations represents our opportunity to finally feel like we are worth the value of a citizen of the United States, because as you said before so well, it was upon our backs it was built upon in the first place. So that's just a note there. Secondly, for anybody that's going to be interested, that's listening to the show that's in the Sacramento area, please show up on Thursday between 6 and 8. The name that we have for our group is called the Sacramento Nonprofit Conglomerate. We are trying to move forward. I will be making sure everything is legit on my end. And we're going to be having some events coming up pretty soon. And, of course, we're in support of Dr. Coffer for mayor. And if we can get her in office, the focus is, and hear me clearly, she needs only $65,000. I think it's half of which is, a little over half of which is the non-registered voters. And, of course, there are the undecided votes. And the event that we're going to be putting on to begin with is going to be an attempt at trying to, you know, get it out there, kind of like do a Rock the Flow event, and that's the name of it, Rock the Flow versus Rock the Vote. And the goal here is not only to get her in the office, but to get a lot of the nonprofits that are working together in our community, those that are willing, because those that are not, it's fine. There's no shade. The idea here is we can get them to start working together, all of us, and putting our foot forward and backing up our words with actions, you know. So when I get the exact date and time, I will inform everybody about that. So will, of course, Timothy Poole or Marvell. And I look forward to a whole lot more. I'm proud of what you guys are doing. I'm excited about the progress. And let's keep it going. Let's keep it going, one girl. Thank you.
Ashe. So we did the roll call. And here is the topic. It's Wise Words with One Gone on a Wise Words Wednesday. Now, on this Wise Words Wednesday, we are talking about leaders. I heard a few brothers talk about the leaders and, you know, and what's going on with our leaders. And I just want you to know that we the people need true leaders in any movement that we do. We have been tricked by our own people. We have been bamboozled by our own people. We have been led astray by our own people. And this ain't just happened yesterday. This has been going on for years and years and years. Why do you think we still in the same predicament? People say things are better. Oh, times are better, but they're also worse. See, it's a two-side story. We still have a lot of homeless people. See, back in the early 60s, we didn't have no whole bunch of homeless people. That's bad. That's bad for this country to be the power to be for everybody else, to help everybody else. They ain't even helping their own. I just want y'all to know we need leadership that's going to stand up. And without further ado, I got Mr. Marvell Wilson for you. Marvell?
Yes, sir. And I agree wholeheartedly about the style, leadership style, and what I hope we're demonstrating is a leadership style, is that we have a vision that's beyond what's immediate in our with our overhead or in our want to have things or in our want to be recognized with money, property, or prestige. Our vision is greater. And so we demonstrate by making sacrifices and going extra so that you can see what to follow, not hear, not just hear somebody say, follow me, because that's usually what happens when we, even when we vote. You have people popping up from, and never heard of them before, talking about what they're going to do. And I'm thinking, where's your demonstration? I'd like to see. That's why when we talk about Dr. Flo Kofer, there's a demonstration that precedes her. So when she says that she's going to do something, it's not saying that she's going to do something new. It's not saying that she's going to do something that we want to hear. We have seen her demonstration. So that's the type of leadership that we're suggesting, is that you demonstrate what it is that you represent and do it in a way that's consistent. I was just thinking about how when we come on every morning, Tim and I had a discussion last night about how it's kind of, the timetable might be convenient for a lot of folks, but for our schedule, it's a little bit inconvenient. However, we're going to continue to do what we do and make the sacrifices so that we can demonstrate that we'll take the bitter with the sweet when it comes to the vision. So the most important thing that I think that our leadership might be lacking now is the same thing that our people are lacking, clear vision. Because it seems like the only vision they have is to get to a position where they can get what they want for themselves. And that kind of selfishness, that kind of is really a form of greed that I think permeates the whole society, the greed illness. For us, our folks to be seized by it is uglier than to watch other people. We have almost 180 billionaires in California. That is 180,000 times $1 million, and we have a homeless concern. So if we allow ourselves to get caught up into that mindset where we're aspiring to be as wealthy or as influential as or powerful as someone with a lot of money, then we're missing our mark, because that's not where our core is as a people. We are a wholesome people, a spiritual people. We can have money, but this money is not just to hoard or to use as a stick to hit somebody upside the head with. It is to be shared to enrich our culture and to bring us to where we deserve to be in this atmosphere. So leadership that we're talking about is the leadership we're demonstrating, and I hope that people are paying attention to that. I will yield for comments and input.
We have Rev on the line. I'm going to Rev. Wait, Rev just hung up. Okay, I was going to Rev, but so Brother Marvell, this is what I want to say about leadership. We've had the ship, but we haven't had a leader to steer it, right? Or to navigate the waterways with the ship. We need leaders, and so there's a lot of good people that could be leaders, but they decide that it's not worth the sacrifice to, you know, lead folks and try to get folks to think like-minded or get around like-minded people. And so that's our problem. We have to come together in love, y'all. We have to come together in love each other so we can learn each other, so then we can show each other. Because like the brother, the mayor said, or the governor said on here, he said that the blind brother that's on here, Brother Sherman, is a prime example of what is needed. Where he can't do one thing, I'll be able to do that. And if I'm not able to do another thing, maybe he will be able to do that. And that way we join forces together in love and helping each other get things done. Because things need to get done, y'all. They need to get done. We can't keep talking about it. I know old Joe say, man, strap up your boots. He's 75. He say, strap up your boots and get to them streets. And that's what it's going to take, man. We can't do it up in the penthouse. We can't do it like that. We got to come out here and boots to the ground. But without further ado, Rev, introduce yourself, Rev. Everybody just introduce themselves. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Rev.
Blessing to you, gentlemen. I'm Rev, those that don't know me. I run a street ministry, and I live in the streets to run it. My spirit led me there. It wasn't like I just had to become homeless. I'm in a home right now, and I don't want to be here because I'm missing my streets. That's been a spirit with me that's crawled up and down my spine so much for this last 13 years. It's ridiculous. And it's gotten me past all of my past because I love money. That's what I want. You know what I mean? But now I don't want it for me. I want it so I can do things for other people. And I know that's where I'm being hindered because the devil don't like that. He wants me to be that old me, all about me, 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 me. I can't because it's all about you. Because I hear and I've seen enough to know better. Just knowing that I don't want to die to be a rich man don't mean that I won't be a wealthy man behind the scenes of it all. The organization that I'm creating is about wealth, but it'll support the organization. It'll support everybody's organizations. Because as you've heard, I'm doing things to collaborate with people. I don't care if it's music. I'll sing if you just want to talk on it. If you want to rap on it, all you got to do is write some rhyming words. So it's things that we can do together because we got to do it. It's one body. So if I'm missing my leg, I need you to help me not hop around. If I can't talk, I might need your lips or your tongue. So I understand what you both have said in a nutshell because that's my main focus, to be there when somebody else can't do something. I'm a carpenter. I'm an ex-locksmith. I can paint. I can do everything that God needs me to do. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we got to focus on whatever strength that we can do. I can't do everything. I'm not going to come over and say, hey, you look like you're sick. Let me start operating on you. I don't have that spirit within me yet. I don't know what God's doing. But I know somewhere amongst us we got a doctor, we got a scientist, we got a everything. So we got to really pull together with this area and grab those that's also like-minded with that area. Like I know a bunch of singers. I know a bunch of comedians, poets, writers, actors, carpenters, everything. My phone is like a Rolodex. So I know where I'm lagging, and I know who can actually help me do it. So being on here even, this is a help to me. It helps me get into my normal zone. It makes me feel like I'm not at home right now, that I'm speaking to the public. I'm speaking to the world. And that's what I love to do. I don't care. And I might even do like my sister said, because I don't have a vehicle right now. Get a bus pass. I'm like, what's that? But I think talking to my friend yesterday, like, you know, that's going to be one of my biggest places to talk to people. I'll catch every seat in that bus until I make it to the back to kick back and watch the heads turn around and see if Rev got off. And then they'll start coming back maybe and sitting by me and talking about something that's hindered them. I'll walk on singing. I don't care. Because I know people love song. I know love poetry. So these are the things that we got to do to connect to people, to show that we are people, to step into their world or their problem. Because we can't do nothing without that. If we don't show love to one another, we'd never have love from the other. So
I see. Okay, so watch this. Watch this. I'm gonna put you on right now, Rev, and then we're gonna get on with the show about leadership. So a leader is a good follower, y'all. A leader is one of the best followers there is, right? And so I was telling somebody need to mute themselves. They're in the car. So watch this. Rev was talking. I listened to him for about 4 or 5 shows, and the sound that he was bringing is the same sound he brought today. He's brought the sound of I need my brothers. I need the community to help me move forward. I'm going to mute everybody. This is very important, and I don't want the broadcast to be all messed up, right? So here it is, y'all. We hear Rev every day, and he tells us that he's being evicted out of his office. He's got his 2 limousines sitting on the side, don't know what to do with them. And he holding his hands up like, hey, y'all don't see me? I'm right here. I need the help. He's got the music going on. He's got the YouTube going on. He's got a lot going on. And, you know, as a researcher, I research. I go and look. You say you do this? I'm coming. That's why I say it's enough of us talking that talk. Put it on paper so we can push the agenda. Because them words, they go in the air, and only word that don't come back void is God's word. There's too many, you know, void messages. And so put it on paper, man. And so what I did with Rev, I told Rev, man, look, we got a men's meeting tonight. State your case. I've seen you can write. I've read some stuff you've written at the Healing Circle while people were talking. You already had it written down. I seen that, right? And so you have to write it down and make it plain for folks. Other than that, you come in. We all got a story. I can cry right now. But this ain't for this show. We not crying. We working. We not begging. We asking. And so you got to learn how to ask our folks, because so many times people have asked in a way that other folks are scared to hear the real reason you're asking. So not telling you what to do, but I'm telling you how to get through, because a lot of times we are our own worst enemy. We get in our own way with the repetitiveness of, you know, sorrow. And I've been shot 5 times, been dead twice. I don't come on here and just cry about all the woes, because I'm in a new day. And for me to look back in the rearview mirror, it only strengthens me. I don't want to talk about, you know, all the glamour and all the stuff I did when I was in the streets, or I don't want to promote that. And we want to help you. So what I need you to do, Rev, is write down your stuff, man. Come in there where the men is at. Present your case. With a strong back, though,
with a strong back so people can feel the words that are coming out your mouth instead of hearing the words that are coming out. This is just my brother that I love, and I'm telling him I'm sacrificing some time for you to do your thing because I believe in you, and we should believe in you. And me and Marvell didn't talk, man. We like your music. We like everything. But you have to come sit at that table. Like when you get mad, you know how you get mad? And you talk aggressive and you talk about your passion and you talk about what is needed for you. That's what we're going to have to feel and that's what we're going to have to hear. But we're going to rally up today. I'm coming to the Men's Healing Circle. I ain't supposed to be out, but I'm going to come tonight because I want to support Reb and his move. And help him to help himself. And I'd ask that all brothers come on board. It's not a big old ask, but this is where we start. We can say, well, I ain't got the time. Oh, we make time for everything else. A brother need our help, let's help him. Without further ado, I'm going to Marvell. I'm not open up. You got to hit the number one if you want to say something because there's a lot of distraction and people not muting their phone, and we just want to really have a good broadcast. So here goes a caller that just came in. Caller from the 531. Who are you and introduce yourself to the world?
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, this is me again. This is a new number other than the 241 number. And I want to make sure that everybody is apprised of that one. But Rev is ambitious. He really has a heart for the same causes that we have, and you can hear the passion in his voice, and the man is dedicated. He just hasn't had a lot of good people like us around him, Mr. Timothy and Marvell, to really support him because, you know, there's so many people that are still, you know, struggling with their own morals and ethics, so they've been taking advantage of him, and we want to show him what it looks like to be surrounded by people that actually have a genuine concern for his welfare, you know. So I do hope when the men do show up tonight, and God willing, I will be there along with Flo Lou, so we can go over some details about the paperwork that I've been drafting up for the events and for our meetings, to give him a chance to be able to go ahead, and I would love to hear him, you know, speak his piece and be focused about what he has to say, and to be detailed about, you know, where he needs the help versus where he doesn't necessarily need it now, and to prioritize those things, you know. And I do know he's been mentioning the limousines and having those two things parked somewhere where they don't tow it, one. And two, I know he's been emphasizing, you know, the moving from his office space, and you've done well to get us together so we can help him with that also. Anything else that he wants to, you know, prioritize in the now versus later in his business affairs, we'll hear more about tonight. So I definitely am in support of our brother, and God willing, he'll get the support he needs, and we can move forward so that if he's functional and able to feel good about what he's doing and know he's surrounded by good people, his drive will come back even harder, but hopefully more focused with the group that he's working with, and so that he can help out in turn the rest of the group. I yield.
Shay, and so what I heard him say, and then I'm going to give it back to Marvell, and he can run the rest of the show, is that I told Rev I was going to do that this morning. I was going to really put it on him today and in our meeting because this is what the show is about. We're looking to help. We're looking to do things. We're looking here somewhere to focus right now. Don't be scared. Get out here and get dirty with it. But this is what I want Rev to know. He's a locksmith. I want to teach young people in our organization. We have a lot of young people. I want to get the serious ones and give them a trade. Why not give them the locksmith trade? See, there's so much that you do, Rev, but like William said, you have to prioritize. You can't tell me everything and think we're going to get everything done. You got to prioritize. That's why I said write this stuff down, man. And you might not get the ear for everything today, but you got the ear for some what you need right now, like William said. And then we move forward with the other ideas. With that being said, I'm going to the host with the most. Don't worry about me, folks. I'm just one gone, and I'm going straight to Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Yes, sir. So, no, one of my interpretation and what dawns on me sometimes, well, most of the time, I'll say all the time, when I have revelation, it comes from God. And what was revealed to me was that that we're demonstrating leadership when we pour in, when we hear and feel and are stimulated by the Spirit of God. That's when leadership really kicks in. So it's not us leading. It's the Spirit of God that's leading us, and we're following the Spirit of God once incited in our spirits. Everything that's been said about this circumstance, we're not just going to apply it here, because we apply it all the time in our group. When people come in and they share their circumstance and we feel them, we respond. We have helped someone who just came out the penitentiary get enough money to buy a car and come to our meetings in the car. We have helped people come out of homelessness. We have helped people get jobs just because the leadership of the Spirit of God came through our body as a whole, and we responded as a whole. So I don't know if you've experienced this, Rev. I'm hoping that you'll trust that when you put your circumstance to this body, you're not going to walk away without something that's going to help you move toward solution. And I hope you can trust that. So the topic is leadership. And we've always talked about, and the apprehension that Tim mentioned, it's, to me, it's real. So I'm 70 years old. So I can take a risk or two to carry a message, right? I've lived a pretty full life, and I don't have a lot of fear, especially about what I think we should be experiencing. I will step out and take a risk to share what I think it is appropriate for us to experience in this country. So I'm one of those, you know, that at that point in my life, I'm at the what they call self-actualization stage, where I want to leave a legacy. I want to leave something when I leave here, something that says that I was here. You know, the younger folks might have about getting out front. And in the past, what we've observed is if you get out front and you get a little bit too powerful, stuff happens. And nobody wants to volunteer for that. So now our leadership is cloning each other. It's cloning each other. That's why I will support Rev with all of his talents and attributes, because I want him to be cloned. I want people to pick up, like Tim is saying, if he has that skill, I want people to get that skill from him. If he has a musical talent, I want people to clone that. I want people to look at that method that he applies, talking about the gospel and using popular music to convey that message. I want people to clone that. So that's how our leadership perpetuates itself. We don't have one person out front. We just have one person that has the formula, and everybody else copies the formula. That's the direction of leadership that we urge to be considered. So leadership, I think, comes from the Spirit of God. It's not a person making decisions for other people. It's the Spirit of God surging through them. That's what's best for other people. So I will yield for comments and responses. Is it my phone?
Hello. yeah, you're on here.
Yeah, I was wondering because my phone needs to pay the bill, his own bill, something, at least half of it, because it do what it want to do most of the time, what it wants to do. So I thought it was my phone.
Hey, so Rev put his hand up. Rev, are you there?
Yeah, my phone keeps hanging up on me. Devil busy this morning. Yeah, sometime, man, you know, I live in my family's home right now. And if I were to walk up to my family with this plan on the phone, why don't you get out of here with all that noise? I'm talking about. So I look at what Christ probably went through. Knowing you raised in a house with a stepdaddy that still didn't accept your mama was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, that was more than likely rough. Like, come on out here and show you how to be a carpenter. You ain't going to do none of this holy stuff around me. So that's how my family treated me. So to hear you gentlemen step up and say something on live radio, y'all got me in tears right now, and I'm not even kidding. Taking my glasses off again to wipe these suckers away. Because it's hard to get someone to truly, truly believe in you, and you know when they do because they'll speak out past themselves in your face. Oh, yeah, I got you. You know how many times I had a friend that died in L.A.? I think he died in Texas. He was a famous gospel singer. But he was a church singer all of his life. He lived across the street from me 15 years. Y'all can Google him, Sean McLemore. He sang with everybody. He was part of the Sunday Best TV show. He had a gospel recording company, and he died about 2 years ago, selfishly, because I wanted to come record. He wouldn't do it. He wanted to charge me. I'm like, hold up, bro. You know how many times you couldn't come off your porch and I ran to the store to get your donuts? So it's a lot that you appreciate when somebody wants to get to know you, like it's a relationship. Because you can't be with God and not have an actual relationship with someone. Because if I'm going to love you as I love myself, I got to know that I really love myself to do it. If I was like I was before 13 years ago, y'all wouldn't even have me on this radio. It would have been all about me, but it was nowhere.
We're going to give you tonight. So write your stuff down. We got a whole bunch of hands up, and we're going to see you tonight. Brother. All right.
Well,
so we're going to the next caller. Governor.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Go ahead.
I appreciate y'all letting me speak. I know Mark was trying to get on, and I think he wants to speak, but I have one quick thing to say about writing everything down. One thing that really motivates me in life and has always motivated me in life is the poem One Solitary Life. And in that, they say he never wrote a book. He never commanded an army. And he's the most remembered out of any general or any living human being that's ever been on this earth. So I would like to say that even though some people can't write things down, still listen to him and try to take that knowledge, because he who has ears, let him hear, and he who has eyes, let him see. And so if my brother's got two limousines sitting there and they're not moving, come park them in front of my house, man, if you need some place to park them at. We'll work on your music. I do music as well. So I just want – I'm hearing – I don't know, Rev. I'll be there tonight. But I'm saying listen to people, because everybody's not a writer. That's why kings had scribes. If we're going to get on here and say Grand Rising Kings, then you know a king had a scribe to write for him. And so some of us, if you're good at writing, write that something down for it, brother. Let them dictate and say something and take some notes. And, you know, women are good at that, so we may need more women to come and take over that role. But Mark wanted to speak, so I'm going to get off this line. Here you go.
Yeah, my brother, my phone started acting up. But what I wanted to say, the problem is everybody wants to do something, and everybody's looking for leadership. They want to put one person there, but this is a collective thing. If we all operate in our calling, we can get the job done because we're all leaders. That's why God brought us all together, to lead as one. I digress.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. Marvell, what you think about that?
Oh, I thought that we're in accordance with that view, is that there's no lack in capability. Oftentimes we have someone who has the charisma and the ability to alert us to what we already have. And once we apply that, then everyone is a leader in their own realm. I was just thinking about this. I woke up early this morning, and I was thinking about a couple of things. Because sometimes, you know, a lot of times when I wake up in the morning, my thoughts are very creative. And I was just thinking that Joe Levy made a tune. You played it the other day. It's called Arms Around the World, right? That's a vast undertaking. But I interpret it as arms around my world. Not the world in the whole, but my world in particular. Get a grasp on the people that are meaningful to me. We form an alliance for us to work together so that then we can extend our arms to another world that might be in a shortcoming. We can then eventually get our arms around the world. So it's important for me to impart to everyone that's within the sound of my voice that I don't look for any man's charisma or any man's power or any other man's clout to make a decision about what's best for me. I rely upon what the man's spirit and how he delivers that spirit to be the guiding force for my next decision about whether or not we even work together. Because we got a lot of folks who have, quite unfortunately, have the ability to cast the belief that they're about you when they're really only about themselves. And so discernment becomes important and screening becomes important. Because I don't have time to waste like that anymore. I mean, I don't know if I ever had, but I'm really getting to the point in my life where I don't like to waste time with people who are not sincere, nor do I want to waste time attempting to make sense out of nonsense. So what he's saying is absolutely in accordance with what my view is about leadership. Is that we all have the potential. It's just we can stir each other up to reach the role that we're to play to make the body whole. And I'll relinquish the floor.
Okay. And so I want to invite Brother Youssef. Mark been talking about you. Said you've been talking about that 115 acres of land you got there in Arizona. And so I thought it'd be best to get you on the line. We have another caller from the 916-527 that we'll introduce to. But Brother Youssef, go ahead and say something to the folks.
How my brother's doing, man? Yeah, I'm here. Any questions, I'm willing to answer.
I say. We got a caller from the 916-527 number. Caller, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is Kennard Shaver, Nardo Next Level. Somebody told me to check in, so I'm checking in. I'm listening. I'll be here listening.
Right on, Nardo.
Yes. God bless you. Keep doing what you're doing, my brother.
Yes, sir. That's my OG right there, Nardo. Nardo's got the everything you may need, Nardo has right there at his store. So I'm going to give him a moment. He just opened up his store down off of Martin Luther King. Give him a moment to talk about some of the things he have in there and how we can support another black man with another business. Y'all give it up for Nardo. Nardo just opened up a new business. Now, we were talking about leadership, right, and how we really need leaders. Man, we got a lot of people on this phone line, and I appreciate everybody for calling in. Also, tell a friend to call in or go to Blog Talk Radio, Wise Words, One Gone, and submit, subscribe, and share this link, because what we're doing is each one reach one to teach one, and we're learning right here. I learn every day from my brothers, and I love my brothers and sisters,
for loving me. And so with that being said, Marvell, we were talking about the leadership and how I heard you say, this is what I heard you say, that nowadays leaders don't think it's appropriate to be a leader because you come against so much, right? You come up against your own people. You come up against the people that you're going for. You know, they say, if you come for me, you better be ready to get what you got coming, because if you come for me, I'm coming for you. And so a lot of leaders that we have had in the past have been knocked down. They have been knocked down. They've been knocked down, dead. And so who's the next leader? Who's going to lead us out of this? Is it just one person? I don't think so. I heard you say it takes a collective of leadership to move the needle. So in order to do that, one has to put his pride aside. One has to put him wanting to be first all the time, wanting him to be seen all the time, and play the back role to make sure that this thing is navigated the right way. You know, that's the sacrifice that you have to give. You have to give to the cause, right? And what is your give to the cause? You know, are you a good speaker? Can you be the one that we send out there to speak for the people, not self, the people, right? What is that? And so we're going to go right here with Double R. I see your hand up, Double R. Double R, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, you can hear me now. I forgot you muted everybody. I was talking to everybody. It was quiet, but I'm going to hit just exactly what I forgot who said it about, that we all can be a leader. It's just like the body of Christ. Somebody can be the left arm, left foot, right foot, here, because we all don't know how to do everything. Like Rev said, I can't do surgery, but, hey, I got this brother who can. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, and to the fear of our leaders, the MLKs and the Malcolm X's, who was basically gave up their life to lead, and they knew it was coming. Many threats, many phone calls, they knew that day was coming. How many brothers is ready to sacrifice their life for another brother? That's what the Bible said. It says you can't give nothing better than a brother who will sacrifice his life, lay his life down for you. And that's what I see. I'm a revolutionary. And I, even though I'm not with the New Black Panthers anymore, I still feel that way for my people. Now, as far as being the leader, totally, I can't do it because I don't know everything. Just like Rev said, now this radio station is the key, that we all can come together. But it has to start with unity. We all have to humble ourselves, like you just said, and say, man, okay, I can't do this. Let my brother right here, or my sister right here, who's strong in that area, step up and lead in that area. And let me let somebody else lead in this area. Okay, I'm going to yield back. Before I yield back, I'm going to let you know. I got 2 minutes. I'm going to make the call and pick up my brother Chris. So please don't mute me, because when I get him on here, I need y'all to listen to him. I yield back.
Right on. Okay, Tim, I immediately thought about when you said the ship and the leader to the ship. I automatically thought about the rudder of the ship. And when we observe the rudder, we'll find it's the smallest thing on the ship. It's the smallest thing, but it guides the ship. Without it, the ship flounders. So when you talk about being in the back and stepping up when it's your turn, that's good leadership to me. When you're talking about listening and patiently awaiting your opportunity, present that part that you're gifted to share, that's good leadership. Being heard all the time, to me, is not good leadership. Being wanting to be out in front all the time, that's not good leadership. So we're talking about breeding a new form or a new view on what leadership looks like. And I'm going to repeat it, that if we can clone each other, you know, and get it to the realm of being able to recognize what your gift and skill is and glean from someone else's, so that if they fall short, you could at least stand in the gap until they recover. and not be oblivious to the gifts and skills that's going on around you, but be open to receive of their gift by observing and acknowledging the power of it, because we are a gifted and powerful people. And I said this before, and it might sound controversial. I understand why we want to bring, raise each other up by calling the other kings and queens.
I'm Clarice.
Hey, Clarice.
I said, let me get out the door.
Okay, Clarice. Thanks. You know, while we might want to uphold each other and give each other, bless each other into a majesty by calling each other kings and queens, I say we are all of royal blood. And that makes sense to me. We are of royal blood with gifts and attributes that no one else has. Let's get with that part. No one else has what we have. But guess what? Everybody benefits from what we have. Let it be us now benefiting from what we have with each other. I will yield for comments and responses.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, everybody's unmuted.
Good leadership. It is not a difficult task to recognize. Excuse me. To recognize, there are two factors, and they're old factors. A leader tries to keep his word, regardless of how big or how small the statement is made. That it is made, if that individual can accomplish what was said, that is an example of how to step forward in a leadership vein. I said it's not difficult. It's not. It's not difficult to recognize individuals who are in front are not put there. They have earned the right to be there, and that's another thing that's recognizable. So it's not, it's hard because a lot of people don't come through leadership positions that way. They're either appointed or they're voted in, but have they actually earned the position? A real leader is someone that has earned the position. And I'll stop.
Okay, everyone. So we're going to take a moment for the station identification. We're going to give out the number, and then we're going to come back and we're going to bless Brother Nardo with a little moment to talk about his new business he just opened on Martin Luther King here in Sacramento, California. You are listening to the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. The number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. We'll be right back, y'all. We'll be right back.
Peace and blessings, King. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
the Men's Healing Circle.
Brothers healing together.
Brothers healing together.
Join us every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, inside the Obama Room. The Men's Healing Circle is a place where men uplift, encourage, and inspire each other to be better through personal testimony, dialogue, self-reflection, self-improvement, and positive affirmation. Again, that's 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Come out and pledge to greatness with your fellow brother.
That's right. Tonight in the Obama Room at 2251 Florin Road, we'll be having a men's healing circle. Brother had asked me the other night when I was introducing him to the healing circle. Someone told him about it, and he called me. He said, well, what is the healing circle? Is it a thing that is connected to the church? Is this a religious cult? Is this – oh, he had all kind of – and I think he was Caucasian because the way he was asking certain questions, right? And so I told him, no, it's just men coming together that understand that if we don't come to the table right now, there won't be a table. And
I was telling him, and the table that we come into is the one we building brick by brick. See, the old table that was there, they didn't give me a seat at it. I don't need a seat at it. We can build our own. And he was like confrontational with me. And he was talking about some other stuff and it let me know that he was of another ethnicity, wasn't with the struggle that I know. And so I'm going to go to Brother Nardo and let him introduce his new business that he just opened here in Sacramento. Now, Nardo's been around on 24th and Florin, right by the library there, Martin Luther King Library, for years doing this thing. And y'all probably not just waved at him because he's always out there. But right now, Nardo has a store, and I want to give him a moment to talk about it. Nardo, are you there?
Yes, I am. All right. Good morning, brothers. How everybody doing? And sisters. God bless you all.
Yes,
like you said, I have been on 24th by the Martin Luther King Library since 1989, 90, somewhere in there. But anyway, right now I'm at 3960 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and 15th Avenue in Sacramento, California. It's called Nardo Next Level, and I added bulk because I wanted to do a bulk buy instead of, say you come buy some deodorant. You usually go buy one or two. I prefer if you buy in dozens or half a dozen because that way you get a better deal. Plus, you ain't going to go back and forth. Say you buy a washing detergent, you buy one. I prefer if you buy like 6 or 12. Like a baby Costco, that way it'll save you time and money. You know, gas is a little higher than it used to be. That way you don't have to come back and forth buying, even with the body oils, still buying one. I prefer if you buy five. If you buy five, it'd be like $20. That way you save additional $5, and plus you save your time, save your money. So I prefer to do it in bulk buy, because a lot of people don't do it in bulk buy. It's always available, but if you're not ready for bulk buy, you still could buy it piece by piece. Also do build your own pallet. And not too many people in Northern California that does build your own pallet. If you want to buy to make some money off of it, that's also available too. I'm on my Facebook page, Nardo Next Level. My Instagram is Kennard Shaver, S-H-A-V as in Victory, E-R. I also be on OfferUp and a few others. But this is where I'm located. I'm officially open, but my grand opening, it was February 1st. I set it back to February 14th for Valentine's Day. I will be doing hot dog, hamburger, chips, soda drinks for the community. I got live entertainment going to be here also on that day for a couple hours. Please share with everyone. Mr. Poole, you're doing a great job. I've been admiring you. I've been watching you for a very long time. You stay positive and you stay active, and I love how you do it for the young people. You visiting in the Juno Halls. You got Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence, and you're always busy. Let God continue to use you for his goodness, his glory. I know you know that, but I want to say it for everybody to know. I love you, brother. You keep doing what you're doing. It always going to be some haters. Jesus had a hater too, but it's all good. You keep going, and we all stay positive. And it's good for us brothers and sisters to come together in unity. That's where we've been lacking at for a very long time. Sometimes we wait on somebody to pop up, but we can pop up. We can pop up. We can share. It made and designed social media. We can share with everyone all over the world. Jesus said we could be able to do more than he did because he had to walk. We got no excuse not to share with everyone. And we do need leaders. Everybody different. I could be a finger. You can be the rest of the hand. We all can come together and push this agenda because now is the time. Our youth is, oh, my goodness, they off the chart, they off the hook because they don't have good leaders. I know some of them we can't reach, but let's give an effort to reach all we can. Let's reach the masses. Do the best we can. That's all we can do. Pray about it and be about it and get to it. Anytime you need my brother, let me know. Anytime anybody need me, I am available at 916-7-4527. Anytime, day, night, I don't care when it is. If you just need prayer, I'm here. If you just need a vent, I'm here. If you need anything that I can do, I am available. I'm going to let God use me for 2024 to push his agenda and help all those who in need of help the best I can. That's all I can do. Thank you, and God bless you all.
Ashe, yeah. Ashe. Now, see, do you all see how we're bringing more people like-minded that want to help God's people, want to help our people, want to help ourselves as well? But we all are, we have something that is needed, and that's love. We got love for one another. We got love for self first, because you can't love nobody unless you love yourself. But now I'm going to give y'all a moment to ask questions. Nardo, I'm going to ask you to get that number out one more time, then I'm going to get Brother Yusuf on about a statement that was just said, and he raised his hand. So, Nardo, give the number out again, the address out again, and I'll be, as soon as I get all of my feet good, I'm going to be over there to represent, because I know you're a good man. You've been doing community work since the 90s, right? And you have always been outstanding. And, you know, well, like you said, there's haters, but I don't even think you got haters. You do it so well. Give them the number, Nardo. Give them the number, man, and the address.
Okay. My phone number is 916-527-4527. The address is 3960 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Oh, man, that's right there on 15th. That's on 15th and Martin Luther King. That's his birthday and his name. Boy, you got a story.
Exactly.
Hey, listen, I just paid attention to what you just said, man.
Exactly, exactly. This building was dedicated up under Dr. Cook, I don't know, 10 years ago or something.
Okay.
Yeah,
by Bernice King. I was there.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay. Yes.
Yeah,
okay,
right next to Prince Market. Right,
yes,
right. Well, okay, here we go. Nardo, hold on 1 second. I got somebody that's going to speak out to a question or some concern or a comment that was made, and that is Brother Yusuf. Brother Yusuf, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead, Brother Yusuf.
Yes, sir. I was hearing a brother speak about leadership and kings and queens and what we need. First, we got to recognize what is a king, what is a queen, and what is leadership. Separated from what is manipulation, deception. I heard a lot of speak about Martin Luther King as well in leadership. We the people is surely lack of knowledge of manipulation, deception of our oppressors. It is written that you must be wise. You must be wise as a serpent to understand. So when you're looking for leadership, this man must understand psychological manipulation, deception, righteousness, positive, negative. Because you have all these forces coming against your kingdom. It's like playing chess. You got to be able to have a man to cover all angles. He can't just cover racism and not cover economics, without addressing spies and infiltration. This is how a lot of our organizations became what they are today, nothing. Because of infiltration, deception, and manipulation. We look at what they call Reverend Al Sharpton, the Jesse Jacksons. When you go back and look at their records, they all sold us out. Maxine Waters, all of them. We had no leadership. The real leadership we had, I can say, was a potential Marcus Garvey, potential Malcolm X, a potential Elijah Muhammad. As we examine their history and the things that they've done, they were doorways for us to not mimic, but to learn from the mistakes they might have made so we can journey forward. But until we are able to accept the hard truth of what this thing is truly all about, we would never move forward. Now, I'm going to bring something to you, brother's attention about MLK. If you go to Jeremiah in the Holy Bible, and you go to Jeremiah chapter 23:25, which speaks of Martin Luther King. It was a prophet man that prophesied lies in God's name that said, "I have a dream, I have a dream." Question, how long will this man have this dream who caused my people to integrate, with his own enemy? And caused my people to follow Baal, which means evil. Now, as I read that scriptures and we look around today, we lost everything we had prior to this integration. We had community. We had love. We was able to leave our front doors open. We had family structure. We had everything. Slavery. Look at us today with this integration. We don't even have a community no more. Now we help hosting all these podcasts and radio outlets to find out what the problem is. We can't identify leadership no more. We have gone so far off base to where we look for our oppressor to give us leadership. And then once when we get one of those, we can't even identify what's real and what's not real. Look at Joe Biden. Deception, manipulation. I hear a lot of folks, fuck Trump. Excuse my language, my brother. But listen, Trump was the only man that I ever heard that's a white man that said, "Hell with Europe. We don't want to give you aid. I want to bring down the FBI and CIA. At one time, Black Panther Party, everybody wanted to bring down those ABC organizations. Trump was the only man that said it. He was saying, "Man, we shouldn't be paying payroll taxes." What we complain about, taxes. And what we allow these Negroes to do on the Democratic side, come and deceive us, say, "Don't listen to him, don't listen to him." Why? Because all of them did compromise. How? Debauchery, deception, manipulation. They sit up around and got paid when they weren't supposed to get money from an organization or receive gifts. Now they handcuffed. Now they got to go along with their program. The same program that Martin Luther King was under. You go check his real history, his real story, you'll find out that he graduated from college at 16, cohorting with the Rothschilds and the Rockefeller family. They put him in position. Go look at what Martin Luther King said about the Big Six. They got paid $7,000 to go take over SNCC because SNCC was a violent organization. And they need somebody to take over. The only reason why Martin Luther King was assassinated is because he was talking about joining forces with Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X when he had control of the South. Martin Luther King did. So that would have been dangerous for the white man. You got to go read the history of these peoples and really understand what is going on and why Black America in 2023 is in a worse condition than they was before. We look at electronics and well, we got phones and computers in our cars. We think we're moving forward. Technology is moving forward. We're moving backwards. We need real kings that understand the king. We got to have kings, queens that understand. We got to have sisters we ready to move to where she can be a spy for you. We don't have that. Those what kingdoms do. We talk the word king, queen, but we don't even understand it. We talk empire moving forward, but we don't understand it to its fullness. Look at China, how they move. Look at Russia, how they move. Look at America, how they move. How we moving? We ain't got a community where we got grocery stores. Come on. We got to really, really think about how this table is going to be built. We need knights at the table so we can build. I don't mean to go on, but somebody got something to say?
Yeah, I'm a little anxious because I'm hearing that it sounds kind of dismal what our course of action is, and when we talk, we're attempting to build from those lack of understandings and those things that are not being observed and practiced now by raising the consciousness. So, clear definition of what it is. I'm glad you can get in depth about it. It's just that the more you pour in, the less I'm encouraged to find out the solution, because you stay the oppressor. So it seems like they have all the cards, right? It seems like they have all the clout, and so we're going to have to go revolutionary or something in order to do that, which I don't see any future in. I think if we our best thinking and apply our efficiency in everything we do, that's going to rule the day if we do it collectively.
So what it was back maybe 20 years ago, the chance for us to really set make a stance is when they had us as consumers, right? So one thing we had to do is walk away from consumerism and form something, because their structure is built on what we call consumerism. They got us having the currency flowing straight through our hands, in our hands, out of our pockets, and to build this kingdom that they have. That we are beyond that now.
We're still the targeted consumer here.
Yes, we definitely are targeted consumer, but what I'm saying, on the level that it was 20 years ago, it's not. They don't care nothing about consumerism anymore, because now what they're looking at now is AI, robotics, and automation. So what they are saying now is pretty much, hey, they don't need niggas no more. Now what they need to do is get rid of a lot of human beings on this earth, because they don't no longer need mental slaves anymore. So with robots, AI, and automation, they said we can cut down Earth population by 75%. And that is the mission they have today. So they don't give a damn about a dollar, because a dollar really don't have no value. You go look at your penny. It's not made of copper no more. It's made of zinc. They're not giving you resources anymore, period, especially what you're talking about. So they are looking to bring in immigrants into the United States of America by the millions, cause chaos, and break down Babylon. This is how the Babylonian system is going to be destroyed throughout the world. It ain't that the people's going to die. They're going to try to survive, because we got a force that's fighting against them as well. That is called the Most High. He has an agenda as well. It says in scriptures, they have a plan and I have a plan. But I am the best of planners. But their plan is really to annihilate. Go ahead.
Question.
Yes, sir.
So my question is, what we do here and what you hear here, do you think that it's in the right direction, or do you have a redirection that you would suppose that we deal with?
Well, I have a solution. Like, so what we're looking at when I said, made the statement that the Most High plan and the devil's plan, right? So we're looking at two chess masters playing a game, or the two tennis players playing a game, right? And they both want to win at the end. So as we watch these two chess players play, what we must do as a people is prepare. Because in this, even no matter what side wins, it's going to be chaos. No matter what side wins, it's going to be chaotic. So my solution is to warn everybody what is coming, because they had an ending. When we start waking up like Lazarus from out of his grave, that's when the end was coming. We have these podcasts throughout the world. People are waking up. The elite that built their foundation on the shaky ground of us being asleep, it got cracks all in it now. So you cannot enslave a man that is woke. And I'm not just talking about black men. They enslaved the whole world. The whole world was deceived. So now that the world is waking up, the elite saying, like they did 1,000 years ago, we must do something about this. We got to stop it. How? We got to destroy them. Because if not, we destroy it. You can go to any table now, they talk about the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the 13 bloodlines, and everything else. The banking institution, how it got started. Now everybody's saying the money is fake and everything else. That's your world they're talking about, right? So when you have a world that you built that way, you want to maintain it, and now they're coming against it, just like China, Russia, and everybody coming in with the brick. The world is about to crumble. Not the earth. The earth is going to sustain. But the systems are going to die. And we got to prepare ourselves for these systems to crumble.
Can I get a moment?
Yes, sir.
Can I get a moment right quick? I got Double R on here, and I was on another line. I couldn't get back to him. But Double R, you got your hand up?
Oh, yes, sir. I got my brother from another mother right here, Brother Chris Lawson, the representative of reparations and the creator of the AV 3121. So let him speak. Go on, Chris.
Peace and good morning. I'm loving the discussion. I just want to say good morning. Thank you for having me, and happy Wednesday. Hope everybody's doing well, and happy New Year.
Thank you.
Happy New Year, brother.
All right, before you start, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Whoever, one gone, whoever has that noise in the background, can you mute that phone so that this man can
clear? I'm finna mute him right now, Joe. I'm going to mute him right now, Joe. Everybody. Go ahead, Joe.
I'm thankful for you to be here, and I've been waiting for you, and I'll listen intently. Thank you.
Thank you very much. First of all, again, just thank you for having me. Big shout out to my brother Rez and the whole team from Southern California to up here in Sacramento where we are now. Big shout out to the whole Sacramento community, of course. So for those who don't know, I think most you'll hear on the broadcast with us now know, but for those who don't know, my name is Chris Lawson. I am the lead organizer with CJEC, Coalition for Just and Equitable California, which is California's first and only and leading statewide grassroots organization born for reparations and reparative justice for Black American freedmen, which is a way to describe Black Americans whose ancestors built this country, whose ancestors were enslaved and then emancipated and built the greatest country, the richest country in the world, which is the United States on paper. So part of what I've been doing over the past 2 years plus is working to make sure that California moves closer to reparations. And one thing that is true right now is that we are closer to reparations in California than we've ever been. California is the first state that created a reparations task force. Some of you know that. They finished their work in June of last year. I was very honored and happy to you know see my brother Reds at many of the hearings, et cetera, et cetera. And so now the time is for action on reparations. And so the question since last summer to now is, well, what's next? And so the next step is actual reparations bills and actual reparations legislation, actual reparations law. And so there's two things to say about that. First is probably within the next few weeks, you know, it really could happen any day now, but probably within the next, you know, few weeks or so, we are expecting that California's Legislative Black Caucus, which is the group of state senators and state assembly people who are the black folks in the state senate and the state assembly, they will be releasing, making public, sharing their reparations package of reparations bills to the public and tell us what bills, what reparations bills they are going to be working on this year. So that's going to happen within the next few weeks or so, at least from what we understand. This is going to be historic by itself because there's never been any state-level reparations bills and laws in the country's history and in the state's history. So just with that announcement in the next few weeks or so, that's going to make history. We already, though, have one bill that we are very, very much supporting and focused on, and that comes from the California Reparations Task Force, and that is Senate Bill 490, so SB 490. And that would create what we think of as the infrastructure for reparations. So let me say that plainly. So what that bill would do would create a place for people to go to apply for reparations, a place for people to go to show that they're eligible or get their claims processed or get their payments processed, et cetera, et cetera. So this is the bill to create and the foundation and the ground for the things that come next. And so that bill is out right now. It was introduced by State Senator Stephen Bradford. Now, recently, it's Senate Bill 490, and we are encouraging every single person who's listening and who's going to listen to reach out to their state senator and tell their state senator that they support SB 490 and that they want their state senator to support SB 490. Right now, we have a digital campaign underway to encourage people to reach out to their folks. We're sharing that online. We're sharing that via email. If you're on our email list, you probably got an email, or we'll get an email sometime this week, if not today, with our call to action and our scripts, et cetera, and instructions for how to call and reach out to your state senator to tell them to support Senate Bill 490 so we can take the next step toward reparations in California. This is really the next step. So I know folks have questions. I'm happy to answer questions. And I think I'll stop right there.
Hey, Chris, this is One Gone. How you doing?
Peace, brother. Peace.
All right. And so this is what I want to ask our listeners right now. I want to ask, do you believe in the reparations, and do you believe we are owed a debt? That's my question, because a lot of people, when you say reparations, they don't believe, it's not strong enough for us to be, you know, collecting any debt that's owed to us because of what? And so I need to know, do you all believe? But that's my question to the platform that we have here. Marvell, I'm going to ask you, do you believe in the reparations?
Yes, I absolutely do. Moreover, my belief has extended to wanting to make sure that the seed is planted and watered to build up a momentum with a groundswell from the community out to let it be clearly known and understood that we're vying for something that we've earned and deserved. And anytime somebody owe you something and you keep seeing them and they don't pay you, you got something to say, right? If you keep seeing somebody owe you something and you keep seeing them, and then all you see them riding down the street and looking like they're holding, and look like they're strapped, you're going to say something to them. Like, hold it, dude, when you going to take care of that? So that's how I feel, when you going to take care of that. And I think that the more people who have that posture and take that position going into any legislation is going to tip the scale toward the business getting taken care of. So, yeah, I believe it. Because it's true.
Ashe. Brother Joe.
I have a question. Yes.
Brother Joe.
Two questions, Brother Chris. Yes, two questions. Number one, Brother Chris,
yes,
are you by yourself? Do you have a staff that can actually come and give information such as you, or are you by yourself? That's the first question.
I'm definitely not by myself, and I have to thank the hundreds, if not thousands, of people across the state who, you know, are supportive of the work that we do, you know, internally inside of our organization and outside of our organization too. So the answer is no, I'm not by myself. Thank God.
Okay. All right. My second question is, how do we stay abreast? How do we stay
I'm
abreast?
So glad
you said contact the senator. You said contact the senators. Who are they? I'm new to Sacramento. Who are they?
Okay, great, great question. So let me answer that in two ways. So one, how do you stay abreast of what's going on? I want everybody to listen right now. So you go to our website, www.cjec-official.org. So that's www.cjec-official.org. And within the first few seconds, if you go onto the website, there's going to be a pop-up that comes up, and it's going to ask you to add your name and your cell phone number to our text message blast list. We send out text message blasts about California reparations pretty regularly. So that's a great place to stay informed. That's a great way to stay updated and stay abreast. So sign up for our text message updates. Also, on that same website, we have a page called Get Involved. So if you find the Get Involved page, if you go to the Get Involved page, it's going to ask you for your email and your name again, and you can sign up for our regular email blasts that come out too. So we send out email blasts pretty much once a month with information about California reparations. Actually, there's one going out right now. I'm actually looking at it right now. So if you signed up yesterday, you are getting the one today. If you sign up today, you'll get our next one. So sign up for our email list because we are putting out regular updates on what's going on in California for California reparations. And then to the second part of your question, how do you take action to reach out to your senator? So in the email itself that we just sent out, there is a link that you can click that will take you to a page that will let you find out who your state senator is, and then we'll have for you a script already written to send to them. So all you have to do is read it. If you like it, press the send button, and your senator will get that message. Or, you know, it's going to ask you for your zip code too, so that way it can know which senator is yours. But it's going to do that for you automatically, so you don't have to go find their name and all that stuff. You don't have to do that. Click three times on that link that comes into your email, and you will have sent that message to your senator. So we're asking folks to do that now.
Thank you. Okay, since no one, I have a third. If there's someone else to ask questions, I have a third.
Right on.
I have questions and concerns, but I was trying to wait till the body has their say. So go ahead, Joe.
Okay, my two have been asked. I do have a third, but I'll wait. I'll be polite enough to wait for someone else to respond.
Okay, Chris, I don't know if you – I'm hoping you remember me. This is Marvell Wilson.
Of course. What's up, brother?
Yeah. I'm glad you do remember because I was wondering for a while. So my question is succinctly, what do you think the power of recognition about it for our community will have toward the granting of it, or do you think it's not important?
I think it's very important. I think it's a source of a lot of power. And I'll give you an example of why I think that. So the reason that we are here right now is because of the fact that thousands of Californians across the state wanted this to happen. So, and this is a point that I try to make everywhere that I go, that the fact that we are at this point right now is not the complete result of, or it's not the complete, or let me say it in a more simple way. The reason that we are where we are right now is because of the fact that thousands of people across the state wanted us to be here and wanted this to happen. And so the more people that know about what's going on, the more people that recognize what's going on, the more people that are aware, and the more people that support, the more powerful we are. And that is 100%, 100% true. I completely agree with that.
So I remember when we first met, I proposed that marketing, like everyone else markets their product or their service, was a consideration to get that done. And I'm wondering if you agree, and if so, what could we do to create a marketing salvo to our people so that momentum will carry right into legislation and become one of those things that becomes almost as 1,100-page document identifies undeniable. So the document makes it appear undeniable. Yet, if we don't have a consciousness going in, then they could very likely decide, yeah, okay, well, it's undeniable. We'll do the bare minimum instead of the deserved maximum. So I'm
right.
Wondering, what do we do? What do we do? We have people who are willing to get out there and do a presentation of the consciousness. So how do we initiate that?
Yeah. No, great questions and great point. And yes, I remember, I think the first time that we met last year, I remember you and I talking about this. I think this was at the Food Risk Community Collaborative in Oak Park.
And then I turned around at the, and I demonstrated, you know, the methodology that works for me, and I thought you were impressed at the Juneteenth festival.
Juneteenth,
right?
Yeah.
Right. So hey,
absolutely.
Man, let's get that moving.
Yes, sir. Let me answer the question too, because I think it's a good question. So there's a couple of things I want to give folks some concrete steps here. So one, I just mentioned that on our website, you know, there's a place to sign up for news and info, but there's also a place to sign up to volunteer also. And so on that same Get Involved page, there's a button that you click to say, I want to volunteer. So I would encourage folks to go back to that page and click that I want to volunteer button, because we are holding a new volunteer orientation in February. I believe it's February 22nd, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just quickly check. I believe it's February, so that's Thursday, February 22nd, sometime in the evening. I think it's around 6 or 7. But we're holding a new volunteer orientation, because what we're doing now, and this is to your question, is we are going full steam ahead on the raising awareness about California reparations among our people. There is a lack of awareness among our people. We need more of our people to know about what's going on. That is 100% true. And so what we're doing is getting volunteers to help us go from door to door in our neighborhoods, from park to park, from block to block, from public transportation to public transportation, from grocery store to grocery store, from public housing to public housing, from apartment complex to apartment complex, from street corner to street corner, and raise awareness about reparations in California. I have in my hand right now stack of reparations info cards. I think, Marvell, you may have seen these at our Juneteenth booth last year. But we have a stack of reparations info cards that we want to make sure that is in the hands of every single black person in Sacramento and every single black person outside of Sacramento in California, too. So the concrete answer is come to our volunteer orientation in a few weeks, on February 22nd, so about 3.5 weeks, and get involved. Help us go into our communities. So one thing that we've learned over the past 2 years is that, yes, asking people to come to big events works. Yes, that's one of the things that we want to do. We want to hold events about reparations. We want to hold town halls and Q&As and community meetings. We've been doing that for the past 2 years. But one thing that we want to do more of this year is go to our people themselves. So instead of asking our people to come to us, we want to go to our people. So that's what we're going to be doing a lot more of this year. And that work is, you know, it's grassroots work. It's the kind of work that actually makes us effective and really builds that groundswell that you talked about, Marvell, which I know you've been very, very focused on. And I do want to appreciate you, brother, for focusing on that, because that is where our focus needs to be. If we don't have enough people supporting what we do, and we don't have enough awareness to then bring them to that support, then it's going to be much harder for us to get a Senate Bill 490 passed. It's going to be much harder for us to get a bill passed with the payments that everybody is deserving of. It's going to be much harder to do the bills to give us the free college and free school for our kids. It's going to be much harder to do the we not paying no taxes in the state no more bill. It's going to be much harder to do those bills if we don't have enough people who know about what's going on and who support what's going on. So that is the right focus, brother, and I'm glad you keep paying our attention to that, because that's the right thing to be looking at.
Don't forget
right
the 40 acres.
I have a question.
Oh, definitely not.
Go ahead.
Definitely not going to forget the 40 acres.
I have a question. Yeah. And that question is, Chris, all right, now, in –
in trying to get the word out, I must ask you, has any other communication, such as TV or radio, has anybody contacted you as the timeline begins to get closer? Have you had any other interviews? And I'm specifically, you've been on the only black station up here to at least disseminate what you're telling us. Or is this the only radio concept that you've been on so far?
The answer is no. I've been is this the only no? My last thing last night was actually a radio interview also, and so the answer is to the last part of the question, no. This is not the only forum that I've been on. The answer to the first part of the question is yes, we have been contacted and we have spoken to many people in the media, even in these first few weeks of the year. Last year we did, I can't count the number of radio interviews or podcast interviews, stories that we sent quotes into. This year alone, the Sacramento Observer has a story out on us right now. I think it came out earlier this week. There was a story out on our work last week, I believe it was. I forget the news outlet. We normally do go on KDEE pretty much. So we normally go on maybe once every two or three months on Keisha Matthews' show, which is Selling Sacramento. So we normally do a California reparations update on Keisha Matthews' show, at least once every two or three months. Haven't been on there yet this year, but I talked to Keisha a couple of weeks ago, and we're working to get on, if not, in the next week, definitely during Black History Month. We have been covered by the local press, the local black press, but also the regional press here in California, statewide press, and, of course, national press covered a lot of the work that we did last year, too. But your point or your question is the right question also, because, we are right now expecting, as I mentioned to start, we are expecting that there will be an announcement of reparations bills in the next few weeks. I expect that we are going to get a lot of additional outreach from different media who want to know how we react to it and what our thoughts are on the announcement and what we're going to be doing next, et cetera.
And so,
and don't,
Chris,
don't
this
forget
is one,
last
though.
Year we did, on Black Power Radio Station, when our co-host did, he did appear on there. The brother has put the word out, man. He's been, 10 toes on the ground. I got to give it up for my brother. He holds Q's and A's. He makes it simple for people. Just show up and bring a friend, and Chris will break it down to you, elementary style. I yield back.
I need him to
say that, Chris.
If that's okay, can you please provide that information again about his contact, his email, and the event that you guys are discussing? I want to write that down, please.
Definitely will. You could definitely reach out to us. Again, the website is cjec-official.org. Find that Get Involved page and sign up for the email newsletter. Reg, if you don't mind, brother, I'm going to text you a link. And if you wouldn't mind sharing it with the brothers in the studio with you right now, because the link I'm going to text you is going to be a link to the newsletter itself. So I have like a short link I could send you so people could see the newsletter that came out today. Because if you sign up right now, you may not get today's newsletter. So I'll send you the link, brother, so people can check out the newsletter and get more information about what's going on. But my direct contact for the organization, I'll give you our email, too. It's cjecofficial@gmail.com, cjecofficial@gmail.com. Feel free to send us an email, too, if you have any more questions, if you want to invite us to come speak to your group, your church, your mosque, your synagogue, your community center, your neighborhood council, your neighbor association, your family. anybody who you think needs to hear this message, we want to make that happen. What I was talking about that's coming up is an announcement from the CLBC. So we don't have a sense yet of exactly what day that's going to happen, but we have been informed that we should expect it forthcoming within the next few weeks or so. Now, I want to add up to this answer, because we are going to be hosting more Sacramento events this year. So we haven't done any Sacramento events yet this year. We are going to be hosting events in Sacramento starting in March, most likely. So in January and February, we're focusing on going into our neighborhoods, as I was saying earlier, block to block, door to door to door. That's what we're focused on in January and February, and also going to all of the community events that are going to be happening in Black History Month too, and the ones that happen around MLK Day. We had, you know, volunteers and canvassers out at, you know, at events just in the last 2 weeks here in Sacramento for the MLK Day celebrations. But to my point, we are going to be hosting more Sacramento events starting in March, and would love to partner with everyone here. Marvell, I would love to work with you on this event to help us with the marketing and help us get the word out. But this will be the start of our Sacramento series of events starting in March, most likely right after probably Super Tuesday. So right after, you know, Tuesday, March 5th, when, you know, the primaries and the elections happen, probably right after that, we'll you know, do our first Sacramento 2024 events for California reparations. And it'll be a community meeting, an information session, Q&A, where folks can get information, get their questions answered, and then find out and then take action.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, thank Chris, you for the time. We appreciate you, Chris, for coming on. And what I want to say is that we, you know, we have that big old Capitol down there, and everybody with a right goes there, the LGBTQ, the women, everybody, the Asians, everybody go down there and make a stance right there at the Capitol to get the awareness out. I was wondering, are the people that are running this campaign for the reparations, are they planning on doing a march on the Capitol where we can bring thousands and thousands and thousands of people from Frisco, not just Sacramento, Stockton, Fresno, bringing all of these people to one epic center and to have a mic out there, and for those that would like to speak to the masses about the movement and about volunteering and about spreading the word? Is there a such thing that could happen with this organization or organizing?
Absolutely. There's more than one being planned actually right now, and I can't speak too much about it because of the fact that we want to make sure that we, you know, keep it, you know, under wraps until we're ready to make it super public. But I'll share with you and your audience. You're going to get some breaking news here now from me. Yes, more than one. Yes.
Good.
And
good.
Let me add one last part to this. So the thing is, though, that doing something like that depends on how successful we are with what you were just talking about, with the marketing and with the raising awareness and with the building the support. So the more we can be out in our communities over the next 2-3 months, the more we can build the groundswell, the more successful those kinds of events that we are planning will be. And yes, there's more than one. I could give you a number right now off the top of my head about sort of the number of those that we're you know, planning, but there is more than one for sure. Absolutely.
Great. And then my other question is, we'd like you to come to a couple of spots. So the Men's Healing Circle is one. The other one would be my radio show with my co-host, The Forgotten One, on 97.5, because we play at a later time than Keisha. We got a different crowd, and I think you need to go on everybody's show. So we'll set that up, Chris. We'd like for you to come back over to the Obama Room. We had you there before. We was light that night, but we still got some things done. So I'm asking that all brothers and sisters that can hear me now, is when we set a date for Chris to come over to the Obama Room and bring the we're going to need literature, man. You know, I'm ready.
I got you.
Youngsters that's ready to go dough-to-dough if that's what it takes, because this is about us and for us. And so we should be the ones on the ground. With that being said, I'm going to give it back over to Marvell. Marvell, you're live, and I'm going to get off the phone right now.
Okay, so listen, Chris. Now, you alluded to the literature that was available last year,
And I'm hoping that if it's cost effective, it could be, you know, some adjustments, because it was, to me, it was, I'm 70, so I don't know. I can't speak for everybody. It was a little busy and riddled with a lot of small print. So I don't know if that's something to be reconsidered, or if you just want to roll with that and maybe add something to that. In our marketing, we attempt to just kind of keep it simple so that we can dialogue and implant, you know, the spoken word with the written word, and make them work in coordinates with each other, rather than, because you did have the little code where you could refer to the site. Right, so we, you know, I don't know if it's cost effective. I'm not, you know, I can't talk about budget issues, but I can talk about visuals. And it was a little busy, and it was kind of riddled with a lot of small print. If this is the same one that you were talking about that we had at the Juneteenth festival.
Yeah, no, thank you for that, brother. I appreciate that. So we did update the cards after the Juneteenth. I think you were right. Yeah, it was a little bit busy. And we also had to update it because stuff changed and stuff happened. So we had to add new information. We had to take off some old information. But I'd love to let you take a look at it, brother. And I would love your advice on it. You know, I mean, I could probably send you a text with a picture of it too. I know
yes,
I have yourself,
you
but.
Thank you.
But if you can, brother, too, text me yourself, because I got a new phone 2 weeks ago. So I lost so many people's numbers. So text me when you get a chance. But yeah, I would love for you to take a look at it. And listen, we are open to all kind of suggestions and advice. There's all we care about is getting this done for our people. So any advice, any suggestions, at all, we are completely open to them. So, brother, I would love for you to take a look at it. Please give me your thoughts, and we can. It costs nothing to make an adjustment on a flyer. We're gonna be printing them anyway, so right. So it costs absolutely nothing.
All right, I appreciate hearing that, and yeah, I appreciate hearing the update of the timetable, because you know we can when we have a format of timetables, you said by the 5th of March, that's something to shoot for and to be prepared for, because we had a brother named Youssef on here, and one of the things that he kept emphasizing over everything else is preparation. So we're doing our preparation for our reparation.
Come on, there it is. There it is.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
I have a question. I was wondering, because I'm not sure if everybody know the qualifications to achieve the reparations if they are to get them. So could you express that to the people?
Yes, thank you. That's a great question. I'm glad you asked that question. Thanks. Who is eligible for reparations in California, and how do you show that you're eligible? So I'm going to take those two questions. So the California Reparations Task Force says, along with the bill and the law that created the task force, along with us, the people who are eligible for reparations in California are Black Americans, African Americans in California who are descendants of persons who were enslaved in the United States. So if you are someone who's a Black American, African American, however you describe yourself, and your ancestors were kidnapped and sold into slavery and shipped to the United, or to what will become the United States, and who worked for free for 250 something plus 300 years, and then were liberated or let go rather with nothing but Jim Crow and the hell that would follow. If you are one of the children and the descendants of those people, like I think we are here, you are eligible for reparations in California. So this is for descendants of persons who were enslaved in the United States. It's not for anybody else. Not for anybody who claims that, you know, just claims that they're Black or African American. It's not for anyone who is, you know, in the Native American community or in the Japanese American community or in other communities. This particular effort is specifically for us. There's about 2.5 million people in California who self-identify as Black or African American. About 2 million of those people are descendants of persons who were enslaved in the United States. So they'll be eligible. Let me say that again. You have to be a descendant of someone who was enslaved in the United States. not in California necessarily, but somewhere in the United States. So that's the first part. The second part is, how do you show that? And so to show that you're eligible, there's a couple of things that we're doing. First, as my brother Marvell said, we are getting prepared now. So right now, for example, our last event that our LA team did was in LA in November, and it was a reparations and genealogy event where we help people show and find their ancestors for free. So we're helping people right now get started, and the event that we're doing in March will have a genealogy section, and we'll have a voter registration section too, by the way. So we're going to have a genealogy section in our event coming up. But the point is that we're helping people start to find their ancestors right now. We're not waiting until the laws get passed. We're actually helping people get prepared and do that preparation for reparations that Marvell was talking about. But the State Reparations Task Force said that California should create a new agency or a new way for people to show that they're eligible. And that new way is in SB 490. SB 490 will create something called the Office of Genealogy. And that Office of Genealogy would be the place that you go to show that you're eligible and to get help finding your records, all that good stuff.
All right, Chris, question. I did the ancestry thing with the Mormons. Does that qualify?
That would probably be enough. I can't speak like with 100% certainty because the exact details will be written by the legislation and then also by the agency or the Office of Genealogy. So the Office of Genealogy will say which records are acceptable, which records are not. I think the stuff that Ancestry does and the stuff that the Mormon Church does, by the way, the event that we did in November was in partnership with Ancestry.com. So we did an event in November in L.A. at the Solar Beehive in partnership with Ancestry.com, and they sent over one of their staff members, Dr. Kelly Farish, who is a certified genealogist, and Dr. Farish workshopped all of us through finding our ancestors. We were sitting in front of laptops and computer stations, and every single one of us was able to find more information about our family's history. But the point is that the state task force says that the state should create an Office of Genealogy to help people show that they're eligible and find their ancestors and not have to make people pay for it themselves or do that work themselves because that is part of what the state should do. So just wanted to add some of that to it.
I appreciate you. That is the end of the show. We got 46 seconds left. We want to thank everyone for calling in, especially you, Chris, Brother Youssef, and Nardo, and everyone on here, the governor, everyone. But I had a guest to talk today, and his name is Flo Lou. We're going to talk about the music he do and how we're going to support Rock the Flow coming in February on the 9th. Here's Flo Lou for you.
Flo Lou. If you had three wishes.
I need a new whip that's black on black with a couple girls that's bad on bad and a big account that's fat on fat. Taking trips with my son and that's back to back. Get back, hit the field, yeah, that's track on track. And if I sign on the line, I need stack on stack. And when it's time to re-up, that's pack on pack. Three wishes ain't needed for the slap on slap. That's a strong bass bumping, this whole place jumping. Someone get me a mic, this melody I'm loving. Been a long time coming. Strong rhymes busting, another long night spent bumping on some. Then after breakfast, the Bennigan's hitting Hennepin. Light another stick to alleviate my stress again. Got these white folks, I'm belligerent. What's happening? It's Flo Lou, he's back again, he's back on his shenanigans. After fishing, I'ma finish my mission. Mixing the medicine cabinet cocktail I'm sipping. You thinking you catching Flo, slipping, you tripping. You running this race and you missing the piston. Lightning McQueen in the piston cut. Taking shots of Patron, you drinking piss in the cup. Got my boys posted up in the cut. I'm in the back of the club, I do my dance while I'm rolling a blunt. I wonder why they hate
home, they mad at me. I'm just acting like the boss, I paid the price to be. I seen a model with a bottle, had to pay the fee. The genie popping out the bottle and he asking me, hey, yo, G, what you want with these wishes three? I'm in a daze, sitting on a little cloud of trees. Already got just about everything I need. But if I gotta pick three, let's see.
I need
a new whip that's black on black, on black with a couple girls that's bad on bad, bad on and a big account that's fat on fat. Take a trip to my son and that's back to back. Get back, hit the studio, yeah, that's track on track. And if I sign on the line, I need stack on stack. And when it's time to re-up, that's pack on pack. Three wishes ain't needed for the slap on slap. A new whip that's black on black with a couple girls that's bad on bad and a big account that's fat on fat. I'm taking trips with my son and that's back to back. Get back, hit the studio, yeah, that's track on track. And if I sign on the line, I need stack on stack. And when it's time to re-up, that's pack on pack. Three wishes ain't needed for the slap on slap.
Flow, Lou.
It's the Wise Words of One Gone Show, and here's another artist that was on live today, and that is Rev. Lean on him.
I'm here.
Hallelujah.
Lord Father God.
Thank you, Father.
I know as a child we done as a child done. But don't feel put them foolish things behind us, Father. I want to apologize for everything that we've done against you, Father. Father, we got to lean on you and have trust, faith, and belief and hope in you, Father, because you're the one that we need to lean on every day, in every situation, whether it's good or bad, Father God. So I'm telling everybody, you hear me?
Just call on him.
Thank you all for listening to the show. God bless you. May he keep you as you keep him. And we'll see you tomorrow morning. We'll be talking about the music that we make and how we're going to take it to the next level. It is the Wise Words with One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. Peace and blessings, all. Peace and blessings. Have a good one. See you tomorrow.